I'm Mr. Ed.
I don't even know why I hit that, but it's awesome. Good Monday evening, everybody. I am the host of the Redfish Chuck Show. Redfish Chuck, also known, actually, Charles Levi, also known as Redfish Chuck. One of these days, I'm going to get that right, Alan.
That's all right. I wasn't going to say nothing.
Good God. Coming to you live from a steamy Levi household, still with no AC in this house. But you know what? We make the best of the situation around here, so...
I'm wearing a jacket.
Yeah. Are you wearing a jacket, Alan?
I'd call it. It's like 60-something in here, dude. I'm freezing. Sorry.
I hate you. Yep. Tonight's show is brought to you in part, not really, but kind of, by my sponsors, Hobie Kayak, Orca Coolers, Tackle Webs, Ego Nets, Black Dog Custom Rods, Bending Branches, Kayaks by Bow, Slayer Inc. Lures, and the unofficial beverage of the Redfish Chuck Show, Jack and Ginger.
Nice.
I'm joined tonight, yes, indeed. I'm joined tonight, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Alan Ryland.
What's up?
What's the word?
The bleeder. The bleeder.
The bleeder. The bleeder. Every
yes.
time Alan goes to the dermatologist, he gets cut.
She's hacking on me. Wear your sunscreen. Tip of the
Wear
night.
Wear your sunscreen.
Cover up. Mm. Red zone and sunscreen.
There you go. Little sponsor plug there for Alan. So on tonight's show, folks, we're going to discuss the inevitable fishing tactics for dirty water situations. How do you find redfish and sea trout when you cannot see them? When you can't even see a pothole, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
It's coming.
So it is. Yeah. No, it's here. It's making its way south. Unfortunately, I'm not pleased to announce that, but as some of you may have seen, this past Friday, my good friend, Mr. Christopher Flores, who could not join us tonight, he has family obligations, otherwise he'd be calling to discuss his adventures with me on Friday, where he caught his personal best redfish, a 42.5-incher, on a Slayer SST in the not-so-trout-trout color, which would be, if that doesn't make sense to you, or don't, are you questioning what I'm talking about, when I say the not-so-trout-trout color, I'm referring to the color that was given to just about everybody who showed up at the Boondoggle in Cars Park in your little captain's bags that Chris Sensi so graciously donated to everybody. In typical Chris fashion, he trolled said SST on a jig head and caught this 42.5-inch redfish while trolling. Yeah, marinate on that one for just a second, if you will. I don't know how he does it. I've often tried to figure it out. But Chris doesn't move from place to place without pulling something behind his kayak. And it proves to be a very good tool, a great technique in finding fish, I guess. I don't know. It still kind of baffles me because of where we normally would B, he would troll in really skinny water, so in theory, he's pulling his lure through the area we just paddled over, and in skinny water, typically, you spook fish when you paddle over them. So, unless they're spooking out away from us, spinning around and coming right back into the position of where they were, which could very well be the possibility, whatever the case.
How far is he dragging it behind him?
A little more than a cast.
Okay, so not real far.
No, No, right. Basically what he does is he just, like, shot puts the bait way back behind him, just, you know.
Yeah, he did it with me one day out at No Motor Zone. I saw him, they just back and forth. He'd go by, wave, come back the other way, wave, trolling around. It was awesome.
Yeah, it works. I fished with him one day, and we fished with your boy Marty and his lovely wife from Jackson Kayaks. And it was kind of a slow day. The wind picked up, the storm pushed in. We didn't really have much to show for it. And Chris is trolling his way back to Cars Park and pulls a slot-sized redfish while trolling.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it happens. It happens. Here's the situation. We launched over off of, what's that called? What's that bridge up in Titusville called? Max Brewer?
Max Brewer. Gross Garden Street Bridge, right?
Garden Street Bridge, whatever.
Yeah.
We launched off the side of that bridge over on the little beachy area. For those of you that are from Central Florida and you know what I'm talking about, we pedaled to the north all the way up to the railroad bridge, which, by the way, in the Hobie Pro Angler 14 and in the Hobie Pro Angler 12 that Chris was in, it was not an issue. 2 minutes. No, not really. But it was pretty quick. It was pretty awesome.
3 minutes.
Maybe 4.5. No, just kidding. Anyway, so we get up to the bridge. We actually brought bait with us because we wanted to try and fish the bridges a little bit and see what we could pull off the pylons. And, you know, I've got the attention span of about a squirrel. So, you know, I hit the bridge, bounced from pylon to pylon for a little while, didn't really have nothing to show for it, and looked in towards the shoreline and said, I remember this flat. I'm going to go check it out. So off I go. And the further north I went and east I went, the dirtier the water got. To where finally it was to the point to where you couldn't even see the bottom in probably a foot and a half, 2 foot of water. Not a good sign for us. Not a good sign for us at all. So, anyhow, I worked the flat for a while. To give you an idea how dirty the water was, Alan.
Yeah.
I'm standing
where we
up.
Were?
No. Listen, I'm standing up, telling you a story. I'm standing up, and I'm push-pulling, looking for fish, maybe a tail, something, because it was, it was bad. I mean, the water was filthy. Big, giant mullet everywhere. So I'm hoping for you to see a tail up in the distance or a push or something. And I look over to my left, and here comes this submarine heading right at me. Big old push. As it got closer, you can start to pick out the copper back of this big red fish, definitely over 40 inches. So here he comes, cruising right at me. There's nothing I can do. He's on a mission. He's heading for the shoreline, and I'm in the way. So he literally runs into the side of my kayak. Just swims right into it. No, I didn't fall out. Are you kidding me?
I'd have fallen out.
Yeah, I know. So, so anyway, he hits the side of the kayak, and he just like no big deal. He just turns around and just swims away. Didn't spook, didn't freak out. He's just like, oh, something's in the way. I guess I'll go this way. And I made a couple casts on him, hoping to maybe just get a reaction bite. No such luck. So I'm throwing one of my favorite colors to throw in dirty water, which is Chicken Off the Chain from Slayer Inc., SST. For those of you who are not familiar with that color, it's kind of it's got a gray belly with some silver and black flake and almost a greenish kind of back with a chartreuse tail. Pretty cool bait. Anyway, I'm working that one. Not a whole lot going on. I slide out to a little bit deeper water, and you start to just barely see the bottom, and throw to a pothole, and boom, hook a fish. And I knew it wasn't a good fish, so anyway, crank it in real fast. It's a little rat red. Pretty disappointed at this point. So turn around, find another one, another pothole, casted it, a little rat red. Then a little dink trout. Then I get the phone call. Chris is yelling on the phone. I'm so tired. I'm so tired. I'm not gonna be able to survive. No, he didn't really say that. But so I hightail it over to him, and up he picks this. And, you know, he stands up in the water, and he hoists up this 42.5-inch red, which was a beautiful fish, in great shape. It wasn't all beat up, wasn't all tired out, and had a lot of spunk left. Took a couple pictures, measured it out with a piece of rope to later be measured out to see how long the fish was. And neither one of us had a measuring tape. And sent him on his merry way. Chris then picks up a 25-inch red, nice slot fish, about a 16-inch red, little rat, and then I guess at some point he had a trout. So it wasn't a bad day for him. I mean, I had kind of a piss-poor performance, and I have been on a bit of a slump lately and not really sure what's going on with that. But anyhow, but the thing that irked me the most was that dirty water. I mean, I really don't – it doesn't make sense that it's already as dirty as it is. We haven't had super hot temperatures. We haven't really had a whole lot of rain, I mean, really, as far as for runoff purposes. So I guess we're just stuck with it. It's not going anywhere. I got the same report about the water being dirty up on the Scottsmore area. I, as I saw there, I heard it's in the clinkers already, which sucks. While that all took place, the next day, which this was a Friday, Saturday rolls around, and Alan, you got to fish.
Yeah, oh yeah, broke my slump, finally.
Tell us about it.
Well, we actually doing some, I wouldn't really call it pre-fishing, I'll call it scouting for the Hunt for Troutzilla tournament this Saturday, May 18th at Cars Park. So Pepe and I launched up north off of NASA. You know, he's got the badge, so he can get us in there, so it makes it easy. But anyway, we launched. We started pushing towards our little favorite spot there, and surprisingly did not see anything. You know, couple small pushes, nothing real major. The water, luckily, was still clean, fairly clean, a little bit tannic, but I wouldn't call it dirty. I don't think it's any type of algae stuff, just the normal no-motor zone, tannic, runoff, whatever, from all the rain. The water is definitely up a little bit, which I think is a good thing because it'll help with the trout, getting them up shallow. But we pushed down towards a little area we like to fish and picked up about a 20, probably 23, 24-inch trout on an SSB, a new one that Slayer's got out, Slayer Inc. I think he's released it, so I'm going to go ahead and say that it's the color called the Buttery Nipple. And it's kind of a yellow, beige, a little bit of gold flake in it and stuff. And picked up that trout on that. We kept pushing down. Pepe caught a couple good-sized trout. We got down where we were heading. And about 10 or 10:30, there was, I mean, you could walk on the bait. And we got a little bit south of where we were fishing, and I look up, and I see probably a 40-plus-inch redfish just laying on the bottom. So real carefully, I lean over, pick up the pole. As soon as I stand back up, I look up where this fish was. Just out of nowhere, he was joined by about 15 or more other fish of the same size, just all laying in front of me. So I basically start shaking. And you know, I threw in front of them. They didn't spook. They just kind of sat there, kind of cruising. Threw it out in front of them. Nothing. I kind of, you know, tried to yell over to Pepe, who, you know, he paddled over. He had already seen him, and he had been throwing at him because he was, you know, he had gone a little bit further than I did already. So he was already on him. And the fish wouldn't hit nothing. I mean, the typical, you know, bull, no motor zone reds that when they don't want to eat, they don't want to eat. So, you know, no luck with those. We fished around a little bit more. Actually, right about almost 11 o'clock, the trout started hammering the bait topwater, just crushing bait fish. You could see mullet, finger mullet, small fry mullet just scattering everywhere, just running for their lives. It was cool. Pepe got one good, decent, probably mid-20 fish on topwater with a bone-colored Zara. And, you know, we fished a little bit more. I picked up one upper slot. We never measured it, but it was probably, you know, I'd say 25, 26 maybe. Redfish, again on the Slayer SST. After that, we just kind of pushed back, and that was about it. But, you know, good thing is the water still, at least to the north end, is still fairly clean. So, you know, it's looking pretty good for the tournament this weekend. But that's my report.
Good. And with that being said, for those that aren't very familiar with the Troutzilla tournament, why don't you go ahead and give everybody kind of the rundown of what's going on. I know it's a scuff coming Saturday, Friday being the captain's meeting of sorts. If you want to come on out and camp out, I know you can do that at Cars Park, but explain to everybody the series of events that are going to take place this weekend.
Yeah, basically Friday night. About 7 o'clock-ish, we're going to do the captain's meetings. We're going to hand out the it's going to be your normal catch quota release tournament. We're going to hand out tokens, you know, which everybody will be required to. We're not going to give out measuring boards or use, you know, tell anybody they have to use a specific measuring board. As long as it's an FWC, you know, law stick, gator, whatever they call them, 3-2-1, whatever type of you know, regulation measuring device you've got, as long as it's you know, the fish is clearly in the picture with the token, we'll accept that. So we're not going to be real strict on, you know, using a specific board. I think now, I'll go ahead and say, I think we are going to do some small, can't call it a raffle, but a door prize type thing. We've gotten so many donations and so many people that are sending us stuff. I think we're going to do a small, you know, I'll say raffle type, door prize type thing. We've got some things that we're going to go over with everybody how we're going to do that. I think the we talked about today, the when you register for the tournament, you'll receive, I think what we're going to do, and, you know, don't quote me on it, but we're going to probably give out five tickets with everybody registering the tournament. Cars Park will be serving adult beverages the night of the captain's meeting and Saturday. So if you purchase said beverage from them, you will receive another ticket towards the door prize items. Saturday morning, you know, we will launch. Basically, you can launch anywhere from Cars Park. You don't have to launch from the designated, you know, loading, unloading zone. If you're camping on the water, whatever, you can launch right from your campsite. Everybody should already have their tokens ready to go. You know, we're going to say probably safe light about, you know, 6:15, 6:30-ish, something like that. Everybody can launch. And weather depending, which so far, knock on wood, it looks pretty decent for the weekend. I think we'll probably do about a 3 o'clock weigh-in. And pretty much after that, we'll do all the awards. We got some great stuff, a lot of great donations for the prizes and stuff like that. So it's looking good. We've got probably, I think right now, I talked to Christina with Cars Park today. She's actually got just over 30 people that have paid and actually registered for the tournament, and we're almost to about 70 that have accepted the Facebook invite. So we're figuring out about 40-something to 50-something people fishing. So it's looking pretty big.
Very cool.
So we're ready.
Good. No, that's awesome. And I know our good friend in the chat room there, Steve Chapman from Fish and Florida Radio, has stepped up in a big way and is donating a killer Seville prize pack.
Yeah.
It's going to be valued over $100, I believe he said. So I think we're going to be able to see Mr. Chapman live and in the flesh at this week's fly fishing film tour.
Yep. I just he was asking me how to get me the prize pack, and I kind of 50-50 on whether I'm going to make it over there right now. We've got some tickets to
ballet or something
at a ball game. Yeah. But if we can somehow work out getting those Thursday night, that'd be great.
Yeah, well, if you can't make it to a manly event like the Fly Fishing Film Tour, I understand. The Mystic for Ballet. I mean, you can call it ball game.
Anyway, all right, it's a ballet. All right,
stand by. Speaking of Mr. Steve Chapman, I'm gonna steal one of his commercials that he uses on Fishing Florida Radio, which can be heard live from 6 to 9 a.m. 7:40 The Game, if you're local here in Central Florida, 7:40 The Game on the AM dial, or you can go to iHeartRadio and listen to Fishing Florida Radio. A little commercial spot for one of my favorite sponsors, Orca Coolers. Check them out. Mr. Bill Terry is the man.
Looking for a new cooler with a lifetime warranty and made 100% in the United States? Look no further than Orca Coolers. These roto-molded, rugged coolers feature premium quality, seamless construction, meaning they're built to take whatever you and Mother Nature throws at them. Orca Coolers allow ice to keep for days, and they have non-slip feet so your cooler stays where you want it. With secure external latch system, the lid always stays closed. Orca Coolers, made 100% in the USA, always has been, always will be. Check them out at orcacoolers.com.
Sweet. And I know Steve Chapman hooked that up for the Low Sodium Show, which airs on Wednesday nights here on the Kayak Fishing Radio Network, and I appreciate that little sound bite there. I need to get a couple more to do, man. I need to hire Steve to do a Hobie one. He's already got Tackle Webs. He's got Mike Hortigo's voice doing Tackle Webs. I need to get one. And yeah, some others. But anyhow. Cool. So, Troutzilla, we talked about that. The Fly Fishing Film Tour, which will be at the Orlando Science Center Thursday night at what time? I think doors open at 6, and I believe the show starts at 7 or 7:30. If it's anything like it was last year, thank you. If it was anything like it was last year, you might want to bring some extra cash and throw down on some raffles because, man, there were some awesome guided trips given away by Hell's Bay Pro Staffers. Oh, sorry, Hell's Bay Endorsed Guides. Things from carpon trips, bonefish trips, all kinds of stuff. It was freaking awesome. They had fly rods. They had, just tons of stuff, man. Gift certificates. It was great. And then who doesn't like watching fishing films, especially the best fishing films on the planet, those are done by the peers. So very cool. We have a how chapter starting up, Heroes in the Water chapter starting up here in, don't be jealous, going back to the chat room. Often shaking his head at the Hobie. Whatever. Don't worry, when it gets too windy, me and Nick will volunteer to pull you around. Bob Harvey is the coordinator for the soon-to-be Space Coast chapter of Heroes in the Water. Sounds pretty awesome. $12 going now. I'm jumping around. $12 is going to be the entry fee, I believe, at the door. So if you want to go in and watch the Fly Fishing Film Tour, check it out. Feel free. It should be awesome. If you see me wandering around, come up, say hello. It should be cool. But let's see. In the chat room, who all do we have? Mike in there. Mike's going to be involved in Heroes in the Water. Vicky Saley's the assistant coordinator. Yeah, it's going to be good stuff, man. Heroes in the Water is a good organization. Takes really good care of injured men and women of the military, fire departments, and police as well. So real quick, say hello to everybody there in the chat room. We got Big Fin Apparel, as always, in there. Black Dog Custom Rods, your boy Lenny. Check them out if you want a custom rod built. Darn unfiner, in my opinion, than the Black Dog Rods. We got Austin in there. We got Steve from Fishing Florida Radio. Guests. There's a couple of you in there. If you guys want to join in on the conversation in the chat room, feel free. You can log in by using either your Facebook account or your Twitter page. Engineer, Mr. Wade. So we got Latin Yakin. Mr. Lozier, part one of two of the Double L crew from our Tuesday night show. good to see you in there, buddy. Non-pro staff Murdoch. Congratulations on your graduation. Noodle Knees, of course, that would be our good friend Mike, who's always horrible, man. I know we shouldn't laugh at it, but whatever. He named himself that, so I guess it's okay. He's working with Mr. Rob DeVore on a kick butt video project, man. I can't wait to see it. We got Randy English. What's that?
I said, same here. That's going to be knowing Rob and, you know, his fishing abilities and all that. That's going to be great.
Oh, yeah. Randy English, my boy, hooked me up today with a couple of bottles of some fine brewskis. Appreciate that, brother. Those will be consumed over the next day or so. And, of course, my good friend, Mr. Scuba Stan, joining us from his now home of Charleston, South Carolina, and his, I just want to congratulate Mr. Scoop Stan, be the first one to do so, on his being able to become a Floridian once again. And I'll leave it at that. So, cool. All right. So let's get back on topic. Dirty water fishing. How do you locate fish in dirty water? Alan.
Yeah.
Give me three situations that you look for in dirty water to try and find fish.
Well, basically, the first thing I'll do is any kind of bait, any kind of bait movement, water, just anything different from the norm. You know, you can usually tell when there's bait moving around, whatever. Of course, you know, pushes, you know, anything moving the water, whatever, or just any kind of structure. I mean, normally, you know, mangrove shorelines, sandbars, where, you know, a lot of times if I'm familiar with the area, I kind of know what the bottom structure is anyway. So, you know, just knowing where the fish may usually be, even though you can't see, like you said, the potholes, the bar, stuff like that. But you know, normally when you can't see the fish, you just got to see, you know, what I try to do is I try to look for signs of fish. You know, like I said, anything different in the water, pushes, bait jumping, whatever, you know, trying to follow the bait, work the bait. It's tough, though. I mean, I know, you know, last year got really, really bad. You know, there was still some clean water down the Banana River, but that was about it. So, you know, when you can't see the fish, just look for their sign. That's pretty much what I do. About it.
Sweet. Sweet. Well, I'll tell you, last year proved to be one of my best years for upper slot and over slot reds on plastics. And it all came during the chocolate milk era of the Mosquito Lagoon. And what I found worked real well, and Chris Flores joined me in a few of these trips, instead of you, Alan.
Yeah.
When we would get out and we'd get to an area and kind of just stop and just watch. Don't do anything really. I mean, I didn't even stand a lot last year just because it didn't make sense. I mean, you're not going to see them in the water, so you really need to pay attention to what's going on top, just barely on top. And I saw a mini bar there in the chat room. It got me distracted. Nick says he converted the center hatch tackle tray holder in his PA to a minibar. Anyway, so you just look for pushes. You know, these fish, they have to cruise around when the water's dirty. They can't at least sit still and just wait to ambush prey nearly as easily as they once could. So, you know, when you're fishing in salt water, you're fishing up on the flats, you're in a foot, foot and a half, 2 foot of water, just watch. Sit still and watch. God bless you, cigar. Sit still and watch for pushes. And when you see those pushes, just try and pretty much outrun them. You know?
Yeah.
Race over,
you know,
try and get out. Go ahead.
I'd say one, if that, good thing about murky water is, you know, you can't see the fish, but that means they can't see you. I mean, I don't know how many fish last year when it got really, really bad, and this is where I made my mistake, was trying to move, like you're saying, trying to move around and find fish, if you just sit still and don't move, you'll see them pushing. They're not going to see you. So, I mean, I had fish just bump off the bottom of my boat because they did not know I was there because they couldn't see me. So if you're trying to chase them down and push around looking for them, you're going to spook them off. If you just sit still, wait for them to come to you, you're going to catch more. So I did learn a lesson in last year's chocolate milk water. So anyway, sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, Eric,
no worries. Yeah. So, last year, the fish that's in my, it's on my Facebook, what do they call that, banner?
Cover photo.
Whatever. The
money
30,
shot.
The 34, 35, 36, whatever the heck inch redfish I caught on fly last year in the chocolate milk water. Yoo-hoo. There you go. The Yoo-hoo. That's pretty much what Yoo-hoo is. Chocolate milk water. That's exactly how I caught him. I watched him swim off a bank, and he was in such shallow water that his tail was out of the water while he's just cruising along, just swimming along nice and slow. And I was sitting still. I wasn't moving. I had my stakeout pole out. Nudish chocolate water. I like it. And so I'm cruising. So I stayed well outside of him, raced out ahead of him to where I figured we'd cross paths. Got set up with the fly rod. And you know, as he came near me, landed the fly out in front of him by about 10 feet. Had no clue it was there. I pulled the floating line past where I figured he would cross so that wouldn't spook him. And as soon as he got within stripping distance of the fly, I gave it one good tug and jumped all over it and took off to the races. So, you know, another good tactic to use is with the plastics, when you're throwing your artificials and stuff, you don't have to worry about leading them too much because they can't see it. They can feel it on their lateral line. They can feel that vibration of a shad tail. They can feel the sudden jerking motion of a jerk bait. And they obviously can hear a topwater plug and all that kind of thing. You feel vibration from subsurface or a spoon even, you know. But if you would, Chuck's ADD is just about, yeah, it is actually. Anyway, if you, thanks a lot. Now I'm all screwed up. If you were to cast over their shoulder, so say the fish is swimming to you, which happens a lot in this dirty water. Fish is swimming right at you, pushing right to you. You cast out and over his shoulder this way here. When you retrieve the bait, you're dropping it over his, if you can picture this, over his gill plate and onto the front of, right in front of his nose, then they'll freaking pounce on it. It's a reaction bite, and it works. And it was proven on more than several occasions last year with Chris. You know, Chris Flores, as he'll admit, is new to fishing. For the most part, in Florida waters, and he's really taken off as far as figuring out some techniques that really work. Well, last year in that muddy water, you know, I kept telling him, dude, you got to go over there, you got to drop it over their shoulder, and he couldn't quite get it. And when he finally got it, he caught a freaking like a 32 or 33 inch redfish on plastic.
Wow.
Well, it works, man.
Yeah.
A lot of the spots that we commonly fish in the wintertime, Beacon 42, later Mike, Beacon 42, Biolab, the No Motor Zone, all those areas, I'm telling you, it's it really works. Get out to, I'll tell you another thing that works real well. And most of you guys probably do. Chunk of mullet. But what a lot of you guys probably don't do and should do is get yourself a pack of frozen finger mullet and bring yourself out a pair of, like, kitchen-type shears and cut those finger mullet into little chunks and just spread them all over the flat right out in front of where you're sitting. throw handfuls of them in different directions and just sit still and just wait. And that dirty water, when the frozen finger mullet starts to thaw out and the oils from that meat starts to hit the surface and you see it all start to slick off, you just wait and watch and see what happens. You'll notice that those redfish will push right towards those chunks of bait, a lot of times causing them to tail and to rooting around in the grass looking for more pieces. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with chumming the flat to get some fish to come to you. I know that a couple of our guys are hooked up with ProCure. You can use ProCure, squirt it in the water, squirt a little squirt here, over there, whatever, and put a little scent down in the water and watch those fish do the same thing. They'll pop up out of that deeper water and come cruising up on the flat looking for whatever it is they smell. They're kind of in the feeding mode. They're not up there just kind of hanging out, looking around, just to, you know, swim around. They're up there hunting whatever it is that they smell. So they're already, their mindset's already that they're going to start to feed, you know. And I watched I watched arguably the best Mosquito Lagoon guide probably of all time do this exact same thing with his clients a couple years back. I was working an area off of Biolab Road. I had limited success for the morning. Caught a couple fish, nothing too impressive. He comes rolling up in his bay boat, not even a flat skiff, a bay boat. Used his power pole, got up on the bow, threw a handful of pieces of finger mullet out on the flat, sat back, and I watched his clients just sit there, not even casting, just sitting there. And, yeah, man, it was awesome. All of a sudden, clients stood up, got up on the bow of the boat, and it was one after another, solid fish, slot fish, oversized fish. Stayed outside of where they were working after they got, you know, probably a good 10 or so fish caught between the two clients. He picked up and ran off the flat, ran to a different location. I slid into where he had just left, sat there, waited for his little frozen finger mullet
cocktail
popsicles or whatever to do their job and end up catching some more fish. So
nice.
There you go.
Wouldn't you say you could probably say more to me? I know you did a little better last year when the water was so bad, but wouldn't you say even when the water gets real bad, dirty, they're more aggressive because it's harder for them to find stuff to eat? So if you can get something in front of them and get it where they can see it, smell it, whatever, I think they get a little bit more aggressive when the water gets dirty because they're kind of in a defense, you know, survival mode. I think makes them aggressive. I mean, if you can get something in front of them when it gets real dirty like that, they'll just attack it. I mean, I had some that just you know, would chase stuff down. So
yeah,
you know,
I see Wade in there saying asparagus again. I don't know, whatever. It's a strange individual. But no, I agree. You know, that's what I'm saying. I think that if you can place a bait, whether it's a jerk bait, a shad tail, whatever, in front of a fish when the water's dirty and drop it on his nose, like right on his face. No, don't cast and let it land on his nose, but bring it to his face. I think that you've got a much better shot at getting a bite.
Yeah.
As far as flies are concerned, like I saw earlier, Steve Chapman said, you know, he likes to throw dark flies, like black and purple, whatever, in dirty water. And I agree. I love those color patterns as well. You know, that one big red came off of a camel color, redfish toad or tarpon toad, basically the same thing. But there was a lot of flash in it. I had a lot of copper flash in that fly. So, but I don't even know if he even saw the fly. I think it was more, he just wanted to jump all over it because it was a reaction thing. He felt it move by his face and he needed to try to swipe at it.
Something moving.
Yeah. And, you know, it's cool because in the summertime, which we don't have spring in Florida. Like, let's not kid ourselves, summertime. the water gets so hot so quick that, unlike in the winter, where you, it's okay to leave it, get on the water at 8 o'clock and go out and fish till 4 o'clock in the afternoon, now is when you really need to be up relatively early. Sun's just starting to creep up. Get out there, fish hard till about 10 or 11. Call it a day, or go and just take a break and then hit it again in the afternoon, you know, after that 2, 3 o'clock time where, you know, it starts to cool off and the sun starts going down. You'll find a lot of fish that way. Also, too, targeting ambush points, even in dirty water, is not a bad idea. So for those of you that are listening to the show, whether it be live here or picking it up as well on the on our apps for iPhone or for Google products, fishing docks, fishing broken off pylons, fishing mangrove shorelines, it's all a good idea with the dirty water. Because, I mean, again, you can treat a dock just like you would any time and, you know, pitch to it, fish around it, cast parallel to the dock, work a bait near it. And chatterbait's a great bait to throw this time of year. A spinnerbait would be a good choice if there's not too much grass. So, you know, anything that's going to cause a vibration, anything that's going to cause a little bit of flash in the water, if you can pull it past those ambush points, it'll kind of get their attention, and they have something to hone in on. That's why I love the SSTs or any of the paddle tails, really. Any and all manufacturers of paddle tails are good baits. I personally prefer the flaring stuff.
Yeah. And, you know what? I'll tell you in a minute. Tried something new this weekend, too.
All right. And so, but, you know, you got to remember something, that all fish have a lateral line, right? All fish have a lateral line. And the reason why fish have a lateral line is so they can pick up vibrations and those signals that are given off by prey items that they can't see. So when you hurl a shad tail past a redfish and he's cruising past it maybe 5 feet away, even in dirty water, don't be surprised if he doesn't turn around and you don't see him, like you don't see the push spin and him kind of racing towards your general area. He may not find your bait. You know, he might miss it completely. But there are times where they'll be able to track it down by using that lateral line. And, you know, so even if you make a kind of a piss poor cast, don't worry about it. Don't give up on it. It's also a it's still a really, really good opportunity, you know, to hone in on those ambush points. Again,
what's that?
What were you going to say?
Oh, yeah, this weekend I've been, you know, kind of along the lines of dirty water, whatever, but my go-to that I've always started with, and I know you've probably seen it, is when I start, I'm using the weighted hook and the SSB, and the SSB still probably one of my favorite baits, the SSB molding slayering. This Saturday I tried, I don't use a lot of them. I actually threw a jig head, not weedless, just a jig head, with the SSP, the new color. And even in the grass, you know, there's still pretty good grass in No Motor Zone at the north end. Really all up and down No Motor Zone, I think the grass is still so far holding in there pretty good. And, you know, yeah, I picked a little bit of grass off, you know, every other cast or so. But what I was doing is basically just casting out, letting it sink, you know, pothole or not, just whatever. Wasn't worrying about the grass. And just giving it just one good hard pop, just popping it real hard. You could feel that SST tail just pulsating the lure. And I think that good hard popping motion kept most of the grass off, enough where at least the fish would see it come up out of the grass. And almost every fish I caught was on the drop. As soon as I'd pop it up before that bait would hit the bottom, boom, they'd smack it, and they just attacked it. I mean, there was no denying what a fish would hit. I mean, he would just clobber it. And, you know, the grass really wasn't a factor, even, you know, without the weedless jig head. I mean, I just, you know, would pop it, and, you know, they'd pick it up before it could get, you know, too gunked up. But I did good with it. I mean, I've been like a diehard you know, weighted hook type thing, but I know we've discussed it on a couple previous shows too. I was missing a ton of fish using the weedless or, you know, weedless rigged weighted hooks. Nothing against the hooks or the baits or anything else, but I like to use a light, really probably too light of a rod. And I just don't think I was getting the hook sets with that type of rig. And I've actually gone to a little bit heavier rod now. I'm using some mediums and some medium heavies in the new rods I'm using. And tried the jig head combination this weekend with the SST, and it paid off. It real good.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm a firm believer in the fact that having a exposed hook point does a lot better for you in hook setting than using a weedless hook will ever do. And it just makes sense. Yeah, I saw that. Wade is in the chat room there saying that Space Coast Kayak Anglers is sitting at 299 members.
Wow.
Which is pretty awesome. It's hard to believe that, you know, in less than a full year and a half that we've grown to almost 300 members.
Yep.
That's pretty awesome.
It was at 40-something members a little over a year ago when I got on there.
Yeah, there you
Amazing.
Go. Cool, awesome. But, you know, utilize also, too, for folks who may be having a hard time finding fish in the Space Coast region, utilize the different forums. Go to Space Coast Kayak Anglers on Facebook and join the group and ask questions. And join the, if you're in the Orlando area, feel free to join the Orlando Kayak Fishing Club and ask questions in there as well. And, you know, come out to some of our seminars that we're going to start having more of at Kayaks by Bow and down at Harry Goods Outdoor Shop. And, you know, there's no substitute for asking questions. I mean, we all had to start at some point ourselves. So, I mean, you know, and I'm still learning. Every time I go fishing, I learn. Heck, I don't troll behind my kayak, or at least I didn't really before. But, yeah, I'm going to now a lot more. It makes sense watching Chris catch a 42.5-inch redfish doing it. So, cool. So, muddy water. Don't freak out. Watch for pushes. You know, proper bait placement, as in any sight fishing scenario, is key. You know, take your time to kind of gentler to me, fellas, there in the chat room. Anyhow, take your time to take advantage of any particular situation you may find on the water. Feel free to practice. Nothing works as well as practice. There's times where I'll walk outside with a fishing pole in my hand and I'll just flip to a tree or, you know, flip into a bucket at the shop, you know. Practice casting to
cast the garbage on the ground at the demo day we did, remember?
Yeah.
Or the Kayaks by Bow booth. We were throwing a fly rod at a plastic cup lid or something on the ground.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, feel free to ask folks, hey, you know, Randy English, do you need somebody to go fishing with you? Hey, Wade. Hey, Alan. You know, whoever. Hey, do you need somebody to go fishing with? Because we're always looking for them. Let's see. Here's a plug for my new OB teammate, Nick. Said he'll be teaching a few seminars at Travel Country Sunday the 19th during the paddling sale. So if you guys are out there in the area, feel free to swing by Travel Country, which is a phenomenal store. They are indeed a Hobie dealer, so stop by there and check out what Nikki D's got to teach you. But yeah, let's see. Here's the big one I wanted to try and get to this week. We got about 10 minutes left of normal time for the show. We'll see how this rolls. If it rolls good and going to this next hour, we'll let her eat it. But offshore fishing. All right, the other day, I took my boys down to the beach just for a day of father-son's beach time. And, man, it looked good. Just bait starting to show up a little bit. off in the distance. I saw one manta ray jump. So I know what that means. There's a cobia. There's some cobias hanging around. The opportunity to slide off the beaches this time of year is getting better and better. And, you know, you guys really, really need to take advantage of it. But don't do it by yourself, and make sure when you go with plenty of safety equipment. You know, probably next week's show, I think we're going to try and pull a topic like, you know, how to troll the beach for kings, or, you know, how to fish. Here, that's what we'll do. We'll do how to fish bait pods effectively from your kayak. So look for that for next week's show. And then we'll also do a rundown of the Troutzilla tournament. So there you go. But what's that?
I said cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be good. Let's see. What's Nick saying in here? I want to give him as many plugs as I can. He's doesn't know what time his seminars are going to be. But he's going to do, his seminars will be between 1 and 5 o'clock. All right. He'll be posting exact times on the Space Coast Kayak Angler page. So if anybody's interested in going to any of Nicky D's seminars, feel free to check that out on Space Coast Kayak Anglers. Alan, you going to go off the beach with us this year or what?
You know what? Yeah, now that you've brought that up as a topic, I was going to say I would not have anything to add to that for next week, because I have never done that. I have never launched anything off the beach except a boogie board and a surfboard. So definitely need to try that. I mean, it looks fun. I've seen some great fish caught. I just need somebody show me the ropes, but I'm down. I'll do it. Got to break the ice. So whenever, as soon as the time's right, conditions are good, I'm in. Let me know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, hey, I'm all about it. I can tell you one thing I'm going to do is I've been debating whether or not I'm going to be doing most of my offshore stuff out of the Pro Angler, or if I'm going to choose a boat out of our fleet there at the shop, like the Outback. And I think I'm going to use an Outback. For most of my fishing out of the off the beach this year. I don't really plan on doing a whole lot of standing to sight fish or anything. I mean, I don't think I really need to. But, you know, the Outback is just going to be a much easier boat to handle, getting it to and from the beach, as we found out up in Jacksonville, how much fun it was to carry my boat up that little hill underneath the bridge.
Right. Yeah,
can you imagine walking it from the... Can you imagine walking it from the parking lot at Play Linda over a boardwalk down to the beach?
No, that boat is an amazing kayak, but I've helped you get that from the ground up into your truck, and that's far enough for me.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah, great boat, though.
There you go.
Hey, you going to do the Slayer thing tonight?
Oh, raffle. Cool. Thank you. Yes. Awesome. All right. So, prize pack time. Last week, our boy Spazzy, or Spaz, whatever you guys want to call it, Justin Ritchie, he won the last week's prize pack. So here's the way this is going to work. I had a few people kind of moan and grumble about the fact that there's a delay, and I didn't even think about it, so that's my fault. There is a delay when you listen to the show, whether it be via the internet or the apps. There's a significant delay that way. So what we're going to do is you have to go to the Slayer Inc. Facebook page, not Chris Sensi's page. Do not message Chris Sensi and say, hey, did I win? You have to go to the Slayer Inc. Facebook page. On that Facebook page, I want you to say something along, here's what you say. Okay, buttery nipples are the best. it's a color of its plastics, so not being derogatory, it's still a family show. But buttery nipples are the best. So you have from now until tonight, to the end of the night, to do that. It doesn't matter who's first, second, third, whatever. And what's going to happen is we're going to take those names, we're going to put them in a hat, and we're going to draw a name. And the winner will be announced on the Slayer Inc. Facebook page.
Well, that was quick.
Yeah. I'm sure there's probably some people that are jumping on there now saying it.
Already. I won.
Good. What did you say?
I said I won. I'm kidding.
Yeah, no, it's like I say, it's not a race. Feel free, share it with all your friends. I don't care. I prefer for people to be listening to our show to get in on these little deals. But the idea for us is to help out Chris Sensi get as many likes and followers as he can on Facebook. So there you go. If you say that you love buttery nipples, or whatever I told you to say, what I said, I love buttery nipples, or
buttery nipples. I'm looking at it now. Buttery nipples are the best. We've already got a couple.
There you go. Buttery nipples are the best. Right. If you say buttery nipples are the best on the Slayer Inc. Facebook page, then we'll choose from that group of people who say that, and we'll get you out a prize pack. Thank you for reminding me. I almost totally forgot. And look for other. I'm going to try and get some other sponsors to step up and do some prize packs as well. Kind of spread the wealth a little bit so that we don't burn out Chris and doing prize packs every week. But, yeah, it should be good. I don't know. Maybe we could figure out a way to get Lenny to donate a rod. How cool would that be? Not to put you on the spot, Lenny.
There you go. We will have a rod this weekend.
I can imagine we'll probably have quite a few people that would go to the Black Dog Custom Rod page and like it to try and win a free rod. But anyhow, cool. Well, folks, listen, it's been fun. It's been real. It's even been a little fun. So, you know, anything in closing, Alan? I mean,
no, just not really. I mean, I'm looking forward to the tournament this weekend. It's looking to be a pretty good showing. I know a lot of people that are in here, I think, are going to be there. I know Austin and his wife are coming over to participate. I believe Austin's birthday is, correct me if I'm wrong, Austin, Friday or Saturday, Thursday, something like that, real close to there. So I know Austin's going to be celebrating a birthday while he's over there. So they have to do a little birthday celebrating. But, no, just looking forward to the tournament. It's looking like it's going to be real good. I've got all you guys helping me and stuff. So should be a fun time. No pressure, not fishing this one. So it's going to be nice just to kind of kick back and watch everybody bring the photos in and stuff. So looking forward to it.
Yeah, man, I'll be there sitting next to you with the computer helping
Very
me
cool.
out doing some of the weigh-in stuff. Indeed, Boondoggle. Can't forget about that. Stanley Jones is reminding me that Boondoggle is coming. Columbus Day weekend over in where was it at?
Pensacola area. I can't remember the name of the name of the park. That's good.
Good enough.
It's up in North Florida.
Yeah. So for all your other information I'm going to Perdido Key. Thank you. For those of you that are going to go and join us or want more information about this Boondoggle that is forthcoming, check out our good friends over at yakangler.com, your ultimate kayak fishing resource. And those folks will be able to dial you in.
Looking for a group of kayak anglers to share your kayak fishing adventures with? Check out yakangler.com, your ultimate fishing resource.
There you go. yakangler.com/boondoggle will bring you all of the information that you will ever need to know ever about the Perdido Key Boondoggle. I don't think there's very many spots left, if anything.
So it's got to be almost booked.
Yeah. Section C seems to be where most of us are going to be, where the big kids hang out. So if you're not camping in Section C, don't feel bad. We don't discriminate. We'll take an A, maybe even a B, a few Ds. We're cool with that. And, we'll hang out and have a good time. That's what it's all about. It'll be up near Stan Jones's possible future stomping grounds. I've got to give Stan some props, man. I'm super excited about the fact that I may not have to drive all the way to South Carolina to see my boy. But, cool. So with that, Alan, sponsor stuff.
Yeah, man. Kayaks by Bo, Bending Branches, Red Zone Apparel, Jackson Kayaks, and Temple Fork Outfitters. Thank you very much.
I like your list, man. It's nice and short and easy.
Yeah, not many. You know, I'm getting there.
Hey, and soon you'll have to add KBB Outfitters.
There you go.
For me, I'd like to thank Hobie, Orca Coolers, Tackle Webs, Ego Nets, Black Dog Custom Rods, Bending Branches Paddles, Kayaks by Bo, KBB Outfitters, Slayer Inc. Lures. And for those of you, again, that don't know about KBB Outfitters, prepare to have your mind blown. For those of you that fish in the Central Florida area, when you come over to Titusville, you will soon have yourself a new store to stop in, hang out, tell some fishing stories, and just have a good time in. By the way, Tommy, had to see you there, buddy. I got that package. I don't know if you got that message, but appreciate that. It's going to be unreal, man. Exactly, Randy English. Appreciate that. It's going to be unreal. Basically, it will be a outfitter store that I want you all to come out and hang out, chill, go fishing in the lagoon, whatever, stop by, and, have a good time. You know, that's what it's all about. Folks who are listening to the podcast later on this evening, or if you're listening to what are those things called? App. Yeah, sorry, top of my house. I'm losing my concentration. If you listen to the apps, feel free. Get off the phone. Jump on Facebook. Go tell Chris Sensi that buttery nipples are the best. And get involved in the prize pack giveaway. But with that, I'd like to thank my lovely wife, Jessica Levi, for allowing me to do what it is that I do and having the faith to allow me to pursue my dreams in this industry, and I don't know how, but be a stay-at-home dad for the time being. Be kind of crazy, sometimes fun. Happy belated Mother's Day to you, my dear, again. I can't say that enough to you, and to all of the mothers who may or may not be listening to the show. Yes, a very, very special and a very sincere happy Mother's Day goes out to all of you, even though it's a day late and a dollar short. I wasn't on the air last night, so I couldn't tell you then. But, there you go. Take a kid fishing. They're the future of our sport. Trey and Logan, I just hope you guys can sleep tonight in this hot house. Love you. Mean it. God bless everybody. Take it easy. Take a child fishing, like I say, and do your part. Clean up after yourself and clean up after others. Let's keep this. Let's keep what we have out there as pristine as possible. Anything else to add there, Alan?
No, that about covers it, man.
Cool. So we'll see everybody hopefully out this weekend at the Troutzilla tournament. And if you're not there, well, you missed out. And tune in next week for the offshore edition of the Redfish Chuck Show. Hopefully, I'll get some of the other guys to call in as well. And give us some tips of what they've learned from the last couple of seasons doing it. Tune in tomorrow night to the Double L Show at 8 o'clock. And then you have the show the following day, which is Wednesday, Hump Day, Low Sodium Show with Mr. Mark Miller. And you also have on Thursday night the Godfather himself, Chip Gibson, the man who started Kayak Fishing Radio, Man the Myth, the Legend, the Tree Hugger. Take it easy. God bless. See ya.